I'm an addict. My name is Glendora. Not Pandora, not granola, not grenadine. Just Glendora. And I'm so nervous. And I think y'all need to know that. Okay, we're going to pretend like we're over my house and we're going to have some tea and crumpets. And understand this about me. I'm not here to bite you or tell you what to do. I got false teeth and I just got them. I don't want to lose them. So I won't bite. But you gave a great theme. Stay, pray, slay. I come here to slay. I hope you don't mind. If God so wills, not up to this convention committee, this great convention committee, thank you for inviting all of us out here on 35 years. That is awesome. Give them a hand. Sebastian. If God so wills, this Friday coming up, I'll be celebrating 38 years clean. My biological sperm donor father said I wouldn't get a day clean. He said I look like him, I laugh like him, I walk like him, I was going to die like him. I buried my father 9 years ago. The disease of addiction got another one, but I kept coming. You see, I got to tell you a story, and I'm not going to dwell excessively. I talk fast. Just keep up. I'm sorry if I talk fast. You might be thinking too slow, so just keep up. I grew up in Philadelphia. That's where I'm from. I grew up in the hood, not the wood, the hood. I was not a hood girl. I was not meant to be out there. And I remember my mom used to always say to us, stay on the steps. Never knew that then until I got here. I'm like, but the fun is around the corner. And I chose to go around the corner. So I know what stay means. Is this the choice of whether I am going to stay or not? Now that's the question. All right. I grew up in a house full of girls. My father was a drive-by dad. He would donate a dollar here, a dollar there to raise us. He was abusive. I come from trauma. I watched my father sexually molest my two older sisters. They called me lookout. Really, I thought they gave me a job. My older sister said, when you see daddy or you hear daddy creaking down in the hallway, tell us tuck under. I'm like, tuck under? What is that? That's not a job. They said, just say tuck under. And what they would do is when I say, he's coming, he's coming. They would flip on their stomach and cross their legs and put their hands over their breasts because he was violating them. And I would watch. I'm 5 years old and I'm watching. And I'm not understanding why he loved them more than me. Because I didn't understand the concept of what love was. It seemed like he loved them more because he touched them in those special places, mommy said. And I felt like I wasn't pretty enough. I didn't have boobies like they had. So I wasn't his choice. So I started to believe I'm not good enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not tall enough. I don't got breasts. I don't have none of these things. And that planted the seed that came into Narcotics Anonymous years later. But I don't want to digress. So I grew up believing that the way you love me is through my vagina, and I'm being nice. I felt like if I had contact with you, you loved me. Oh, yes. I called it zombie sex. Once you did me, you couldn't stop. You know, it never worked. And I kept coming after you, and you kept coming after me. And bottom line, I caught a lot of pain. I was introduced to drugs a long time ago. Favorite flavor, there was whatever was on the table, I'm down with it. Let's do it. At the end of my addiction, I was using any and all things that would take me outside of myself. If I had a zipper on the skin, I would have unzipped it and stepped out. That's how much I didn't like myself. Prostitution became a choice for me. I figured I was giving it away anyway, so now I might as well put some money with it. I can get high, you know, come on. Not feel you crawling over my body. Not feel you in my face. Not feel you laughing at me. I'm talking about that dereliction. Degradation out there on the streets in the middle of winter with no shoes because I sold them again, no jacket because I sold that again, doing a job on a guy that requires no application. You know what job I'm talking about. And at the end of my addiction, having my last trick, because I remember, they said, don't forget the last. It might be repeated. Don't want to go back there. The last trick I got, I'm not trying to embarrass y'all or embarrass me, it's my story. Get over it. He said to me after the 2-second act, that was about 2 seconds. He said, I want a refund. How do you refund coochie? I'm like, dude, I don't got no receipt. I don't know what the, I never had this happen before. I knew then I was done. Done. My lips had twisted to the side of my neck. I'm sorry, I was a smoker. My lips was over here. My nerves and my face had went haywire. And I swear to beans and bacon, I could whisper in my own ear. This is really messed up. Yeah, I know. But the funniest thing is, my older sister had the same lips. We both was talking like this. Blah, blah. So then my dad came in and he was smoking too. And all three was like, blah, 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 blah. My mom turned around and like she was giving us our last meal or something. She said, what is wrong with your mouths? Ain't nothing wrong with our mouth. What's wrong with your mouth? Why are yours like that? We trying to make her believe her normal mouth was abnormal. That's my life. I live to use and I use to live. Very simply, I'm an addict. I got high on anything, like I told you. But at that end, that last run, when my baby sister was going, she was graduating from college, and I promised her to buy her a jogging suit, you know, with the zip up and the hoodie. You know how you promise a lot of things when you think you're going to get some money? What happened was between the time of me buying the suit and the drugs came into play, all the money went up in smoke. So when I went over to her, she said, did you get it? Did you get it? I'm like, no, I'm going to get it later because that was too high. It cost too much. I'm going to get you another, a better one. She had that look. You know that look? She said, don't worry about it. They never called me Glendora. They said, Dora, don't worry about it. I'm going to get both of us one. Shame. Regret, I did it again. I can't seem to stand firmly on any ground. There is no ground. I'm a joke in the family. My name went from Glendora to I stole from everybody. Anybody that got close to me, even if you didn't get close to me, I came to you. I am the addict that would walk into a party, a family function, and everybody's happy and joyous, and I would steal all their smiles. That was my thing, man. Make you miserable, because misery not only loves company, it demands it. And I saw my little sister's face drop. And I said, Mom, I need help. So I went away. And my mom wanted to drive me to detox. And I knew, now don't ask me how, I still did a day question that one. I knew if she had took me, I would have figured out a way to not go in. And I would have continued using. Let me say something to you so you can get a picture in your mind. Visualization. I stink so bad that when the wind would blow, people would leave from around me because I smelled so bad. My clothes were messed up. Even though I had clothes, I chose not to change. I chose not to get in the shower. Each bottle of drug, each bag, each whatever should have a warning label on it. If you use this, you will never wash your ass again. Something about water is like, no. Only time I would get in water is my mom was going to give me a couple of dollars to get high, but I would throw it up in the air and jump through. I'm clean. And so I went away to detox, and I walked in there. There were 18 women. I got to go fast. I got a lot to give you all a little bit of time. I got to remember this theme. I walked in there, and there were 18 women, and I made 18. The man went down the line of all these women, and he stopped in front of me. And I'm like, look at, now, picture this. I had a box. Some of y'all are so young. It's Kid and Play, it's a high top fade, it's where your hair grew up. But what happened, because I had lived so crookedly, mine was crooked. So I'm like standing in line like, yeah, what's up? He said, you. I'm like, me? He said, yeah, don't get up there and get in the men's faces. What, all these girls, did you pick me? He knew. The second day I had learned how to get over the side with the men, where I crawled through this hole, I found those men. And I was trading favors for sugar and candy and jelly. I was like, damn, my prices have dropped. And while I'm sitting in there, thank you God for Narcotics Anonymous, H&I. And they came in there, and the girl had on cowboy boots. I've never seen cowboy boots like that in my life. Now, I come from the streets. I have no shoes, no nothing. Everything's all tore up in the bag and dirty clothes. My dirty clothes became my clean clothes, and they became dirty clothes. It's a mess. But she had on these cowboy boots. I couldn't hear nothing. It sounded like this. I'm like, what the hell is she? But I saw them boots. They said, whatever keeps you coming, keep coming. I said, if I go to that meeting, because I asked the man that was leading that group thing. I said, if I go to that meeting, can I get them boots? He said, you keep coming back. He ain't never say yes or no. I wonder. And I heard something. He said, there are people just like me who use drugs and who found a new way to live. They have hope. They have dreams, aspirations. The impossible God has made possible. I wanted that, but I don't know how to get that. I had that time, I maybe had 5 days clean. I'm coming out the next day, I'm terrified. I don't know what to do. So I made my first NA meeting with 8 days clean. And I walked into a meeting and it was big like this. In Philly, and everybody kept hugging. I was like, it's a gay rights convention. I'm gonna charge those women extra. Yeah, all right. Because I don't know no better, I'm new. And y'all knew I was a newcomer. Y'all was like, keep coming back. I'm like, yeah, I will. All right, I'm gonna keep coming back. Why you say it like that? I didn't know that was y'all catchphrase, you know? So I'm gonna keep coming back, and guess what? I'm not gonna use drugs either. She said, good. I'm like, good. Oh, okay, good. So I stood in the meeting by the door where all the men stood. I ain't slow. It was money over in this corner. That's the money corner. And I slid behind the table where we had coffee, and I became a barista. Would you like cream or sugar with that? Because I still got that street mentality. That still, I work with my body, not my mind or my spirit. Because that's all I've ever had. I never knew my worth. I never knew I was much more than what this itty-bitty SHIT committee told me I was. And I stood behind that table hoping one of you men would take me and stop my pain. And I wanted you not in the love, romance, happily ever after. I just wanted you to stop the pain. The constant rolling through your head of what you've done. Why did you do that? How could you have done that? I just wanted you to stop. So the guy that gave me the meeting list in detox came up to me. I'm like, he want me. Everybody want me. He want me. Now I'm still looking like crack on a Sunday. So he said, I want you to meet somebody. I'm like, who? Well, who? Is it twosome? Oh, I'm going to charge you extra. My mind's still prostitution. I'm like, I ain't no, and I don't know what this mean. Not nuts anonymous. I'm nuts. A lot of nuts. A lot of nuts. And he brung this big girl up. Now, I'm sorry, y'all. This is not for you skinny women. I love you dearly. But I've always been a big girl since I was a little girl. I guess I would be a big girl till I'm an old girl. I am an old girl. Oh, the hell with that. Bottom line is, he brought this bigger girl, bigger than me. And I said, you want me to freak her? I said, I got to charge her extra. That's a little bit too much. I can't do her. I don't even know what to do. I had never had a woman, so I figured I'll play along with it and figure it out as I go. He said, no, we're not having no threesome. I'm like, we're not? I don't understand what you had to offer. And I didn't understand that I had to make the effort to get it. But there are certain steps that I must take. First of all, was making that meeting was the first step. Thank you, God, for a third tradition. Only thing I had to have was a desire. And none of you could measure that desire. I was in that meeting. And y'all welcomed me with open arms. And that big lady came up to me. She opened her arms up. And she gripped me in like, blah, 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 blah. Her triple D's or F's, whatever you call them, big boozies. And my double D's, we smashed. Blah, blah, blah. And she gave me what y'all call the NA hug. I just thought it was a bunch of titties, breast assists grinding. But something about that NA hug, something about that heart to heart, something about somebody loving you, even though they don't know you, something about them not looking at you like, but looking at you like, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? I'm always so used to everybody taking or me taking. She said, what can I do? And I hugged her, and I grabbed onto her sweater, and I meant to pull her off of me. Don't hug me. Do you understand? My body smells bad, even though I took a bath. The smell is still in my spirit. Don't hug me. I'm not worthy of touch from a human person that's as pretty as you are. Don't hug me. Because I've been raped, gang raped. I put young girls on the court and tricked them out. I was a pimpette. Oh, I made that word up, but I was. And she wouldn't let me go. So when I say to y'all newcomers, oh, we love you. She loved on me so much that I followed her around. And they said, if you want what we have to offer. And I was willing to get it. They said, you got to stay. First of this topic, I had to stay where? You want me to move in with you? No, not stay like that, no, stay here, stay in today, stay in the freaking moment, sometimes stay in the second. And I started making meetings. Whenever she went, I followed that big lady, and I was on her. I made sure I got there early, and I put stuff in the chair so nobody would sit in her chair, because that was my friend. And when she would read that literature, I'm not lying. She was like reading stuff out of that basic text. I knew it was basic text now. And I would look over her shoulder and see what page she was on, and I got my basic text too, because I bought one. She had one. I had to get one. And I read the same thing she read. I didn't understand it, but I read it. And I kept following her, and I kept making meetings with her. And each day I got clean, I felt such an exhilaration of being not free totally of the regret and shame. But like, look, I'm walking around, my skin is clean. And I went into the bathroom one day, and my mom was walking up, cleaning up the hallway. And I'm in the shower, and it was a brush. It's shaped sort of like a peanut. And I had this big bar of Ivy soap, and I was scraping off the layers. And my mom said, she came in there to get something out of the dirty clothes or whatever. And she looked in the shower, she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Ma, and they say I can't come back unless I come back clean. I gotta be clean, Mom. I got to be clean." I don't know how. It's easy to say stay, but tell me why should I stay? Glendora, if you don't want to keep feeling like an old used napkin, stay. Glenn, if you want to learn how to make lasting friendships, stay. Glenn, if you want to get a productive life pattern, then stay. If you want to meet new people that ain't about getting your pockets between your legs, stay. If you want to see the sun rise and not regret that it came up again and you're still alive, stay. This is why I stay. I stay because y'all gave me a home that I never knew I was yearning for. And when I say home, I don't mean a physical place. I mean a spiritual place. And I kept coming. Oh my God, did I keep coming? I took it upon myself to become every newcomer's driver. Get in, come on, we gotta go. Time to go. And I only had like a month clean. But if I go, you gotta go. And we would go in meetings. And in Philly, it snowed one day, and the streets froze over. Gotta calm down. And I remember the streets were froze over where the meeting was across the street, and I could see it, but I couldn't get to it. And I think we are so ingenious people. We took the basic text and we slid across the street like scoots. We scooted. We was going to make that meet no matter what. I'm talking about we were determined to stay. And I watched y'all smile and I saw the hairstyles. I'm sorry, it's my story. Y'all had some press on nails. They popped off. Y'all put them back on. I stayed. I'm like, wow. And y'all had dances. And see, I got stuck in the 70s. I'm old as crap. And I was still doing the robot. And everybody else was doing some electric slide thing, you know. And I didn't know that because I got smoked out. You know, look. So when I came back to life, that's what, and they does where you bring it back to life. I wanted to learn how to dance like you. And this woman, she took me behind. We have our dances at 32nd and Chestnut Street. It's a basketball court. She took me behind where the bleachers were, and she taught me how to dance. She showed me how to electric slide. It may sound silly to y'all, but from a person who danced with death for so long and thought that was normal, the dance of life is so invigorating. It was why I stayed, because I wanted to teach another girl how to dance. I started wearing panties, y'all, and a bra to match. Victoria was no longer a secret. I like my own boobs. I started coming in color. Look, I learned about weave. I was unbelievable. No. I learned about getting in the shower and not around the shower. I learned about sitting at a meeting and staying from the beginning to the end. I learned about 90 and 90. These all fed the stay attitude. I learned about reading that literature, not when somebody forces me to, but because I needed to get fed. I'm telling you, yesterday's message, it's a little bit left over, but I need it constantly. Like a diabetic, I need my medication, my insulin every day. So I made a meeting. And I'm staying, y'all. Thomas, tick, 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 tick. And I remember my first sponsor saying to me, she said, I want to ask you a question. I'm like, what? She said, you got a choice. I'm like, a choice for what? She said, you got to choose either that keychain. I'm like, that keychain they give us when they know we ain't got no house, we ain't got no key. Why you gonna give me a keychain? I don't got no key. They said, it's the key to freedom. I said, so every time I make a meeting I don't use, a key appears on it. You can't see it. I know it's there. Every time I choose to walk past the cop house and not use, the key of the freedom is on that key. She said, you could choose to not use that and lose it, and you could choose the other key. I'm like, what's the key? A toe tag. A toe tag is placed on your toe when you're dead. I want to live. So how do I live? I stay. Even when y'all hurt my feelings, I stay. I think I had 2 months clean, and I fell in love with a guy who had 2 years clean. They kept telling me, no, Glendora, not nice. I'm like, shut up. What are you, the dick police? I mean, why? So I went after it, and it's amazing in here. You'll learn. You go after some things, and you get them. You'll be praying. That's later on in steps, but you'll be praying for, please remove that. And I got them. And I left my earring over on his couch because he didn't even treat me well enough to take me to his bedroom. I'm a couch girl, you know. But when you're living in desperation and not in the loneliness of, you will accept anything and call it something. So I'm laying there, and I come to the meeting. I see him. I'm like, hi, boo. I said, I left my earring over your house. He went off on me in front of the whole meeting. Now I'm a newcomer. I don't know how to deal with my feelings. They're all over the place. And all I heard was rejection. I'm not pretty enough. You didn't like me. You're going to tell everybody in the NA meetings that I'm a whore. Like, I didn't know that already. But, I mean, you're going to say it loud. I think it. And so I said, that's it. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't like NA. They're mean. They're mean just like the people on the streets. And I started, and this is for you men. I started to go out the door, and I'm like, I'm screaming, crying. And it was a man that caught up with me. He said, oh, no, we ain't letting you go like this. I'm like, dude, what you want? I'm thinking he wants sex, you know, because that's my mentality. We sat in this car for 3.5 hours. He would not let me use. He saw something in me that I couldn't even fathom. And he talked and talked. I think, honestly, if he could have, he would turn blue in the face. I was determined. I'm going back to what I know. He said, well, was what you know made you happy? I'm like, no. He said, well, with what you know, did it solve any of your problem? I'm like, no. He said, so what are you going back to? And I bust out crying because he was right. You gave me hope, Narcotics Anonymous. So I chose to stay, and I kept getting key tags, and I love that glow-in-the-dark one that you get when you get that year. I cut off all my lights, and I make sure it glowed in the dark because you said so. Oh, yes, it does. So here's my journey. After that year, life became real. Now I'm staying. I'm making meetings. I'm getting clean time. I'm involved in the service. I got a sponsor. That lady, the big lady, she became my sponsor. She's so soft and fluffy. She's my sponsor. She started, she said, whenever you're ready to take the steps, I'm here for you to guide you. And I'm sitting there, and I'm making meetings, and I'm making meetings count. I'm sitting up front. I'm not going in the back because that's inventory row. I checked her. Look at them shoes she got on. Oh, my God. Like, I got some money. But I sat on the front row so I can get the message. And I'm growing, and I'm staying. But the next level is prayer. Now, I understand, look, I got to get some water because I'm dry as heck. Excuse me, please. All right. So, all right, I got clean time, a whole year and 2 months, 3 months. And I found out about sex, conscious sex, where I'm actually awoke when it's done. And I remember your name. Oh, that's even better. And you men, I really believe if you had more time than me and I had sex with you, somehow it would come into my body. But I learned from Khalees, my friend. He said, recovery cannot be sexually transmitted. I tried. And I would take the literature, and I'm so smart. I'm going to keep you coming back. Yeah, more will be revealed. And they ain't like looking at me all the old times. Yeah, you keep coming back. Ah. But I'm like feeling some emptiness. I'm going through the men. Like Kleenex in a box. My bedroom starts to remind me of a butcher shop. Number 23, next, 24. And I don't remember people's names. People are coming up to me, and I'm seeing them other places, and I don't remember them. And I just slept with them, what, yesterday, last week? And they're saying, how you doing, Glenn? I'm like, I'm all right. How you doing? Think he liked me? He already liked you quite a few times. He said, you need to start remembering who you sleep with and give your body to. I'm like, damn. Hurt peace. So I want to change, y'all. I want to change. So I started learning there were four phases to a relationship. We ended up praying. First, I had to pause. No. Let's go back to the other one. I'm going to say, first is enchantment. Enchantment is where you look at them, and they look at you at the meeting. You can't even hear the speaker. You're like, you're texting each other in the day, modern day. You're texting each other at the meeting. You finally get that date, and you finally get that first kiss. It's like a cracker to an Ethiopian. You can't wait to have sex that first time because you're enchanted. You're locked in the illusion of what could be. And you get there and you get that. He take off his shirt and he got all those little freckles all over. Oh, you're so cute. Look at your little freckles. You say, yo, he's all in your face, feeling all in. He said, look at you, got a little mustache. Keep my kitty cat. Little kitty cat. Somewhere down the line of maybe 2 to 3 weeks, 4 maybe if you're lucky, all those freckles on his back start multiplying. You're like, what's wrong with you? What you got? Melanomas? What's that? Is that contagious? Now all of a sudden you're questioning it. Your mustache that you haven't had done in a while, you ain't been to that little trace place or rip it off, it's kind of gotten big. And he said, what happened? Now you look like Lion King. It ain't so sexy no more. And this is where you usually start. This is called disillusionment. This is where you usually call say things like this. I wish I would have listened to my sponsor. And you find yourself regretting a move you made. Giving yourself to somebody you don't even know your worth. You don't even know your worth. You haven't done any step work, so you don't know what it is that you had to offer somebody or how to recognize boundaries that are set in your life. You're sitting there giving your body away. No condom, no nothing. Just like, here, take this. I'm not worth even questioning you. Have you been tested? How you living, Glenn? How you living? So I moved on to the third phase, which is called misery. That's where every convention you go, you get the couple of the year. They wear matching T-shirts. You went knucklehead because y'all stuck. Now y'all stuck together. Like, ugh. Y'all called him every name but the sound of whatever God, whatever the hell. And you just stuck with him. Ugh, and you're miserable. Misery man's company. So I'm driving home at their meeting after being very miserable. And I'm driving, of course, because he don't have no license or car or insurance. So I pull up to the couple of the year. And she's on my left. I'll never forget this. And she's on the passenger seat. So we look at each other's eyes. And I'm like, I'm very petty. Okay, I'm raising my hand. Yes, I'm petty. So I look at her and she look at me. Psh. So I don't want to look at her. So now I look again. I'm like, something ain't right. She presses her face to the mirror, the glass, and says, help, dial 911, he's crazy. I'm like, yes, I'm not the only one miserable. She's miserable too, yes, solidarity. We all are miserable. And what do we do then? We wind up dropping that partner and getting another one, going to the different side, east side, west side of your city, finding a new partner you haven't tested. And I call it the NA square dance. And what it is, you're starting to change partners so much. It says something like this. Glenn, go with Bobby. Bobby, go with Alice. Alice, go with Sarah. Sarah, go with Michael. Michael, go. And y'all just seeing each other's stretch marks and tattoos. It's so sad you can't go to meetings on the north side because you don't stop at least 7 or 8 of them. You can't go to the street. You can't go nowhere because you've done some damage in the rooms with clean time. And you're miserable. I want change, y'all. So we move on to the fourth phase, which is called mutual respect. Now I got the sponsor, it's time to use her. I don't want to forget where I'm at, mutual respect. But I got to do some work on Glendora. We're talking about prayer. First thing is I had to admit, first step, that I got a problem. I'm an addict, I'm a control freak too. When I'm in control, I'm totally out of control. The unmanageability is very apparent for me in that first step. And when I throw up my hands and surrender, ain't nothing hidden behind my back, I'm done. And I was able to move on to a second step. You became a power greater than me. You helped me believe that there was hope for this dope fiend that was me. See, now the dope ain't a part of the story. It's just the fiend that's there. I'm in the rooms. I'm creating the same insanity over and over again. And it's the same crap. I want something different. So I started believing in a power greater than me could restore me to sanity. I'm like, could he work for me? I'm the least likely to do anything right. That's me. And when I started internalizing what a power is, and I started loving on that power, and I tried different approaches, it worked. Third step gave me some hope, some willingness to do. I had to open my mind and become willing to make the change. I had to third step it. God, take my will in my life. Guide me in my recovery. Show me how to live. I've lived through you men. I've lived through some of you women. Your opinion of me became my opinion of me. No, God's opinion of me is what counts. And my sponsor showed me the light. Fourth step, I broke myself down. I'm like Shrek says, there are many layers to this onion. Not just the ones you can see. There's some deep stuff inside of me. You understand? Watching your mother get her jaw broken in front of you as a little girl and not being able to protect her created layers. Me getting raped and having the guys that raped me the next day laugh at me while I'm sitting there, layers. Coming into recovery and feeling like I don't belong, layers. So I started peeling those away on the fourth step, and I got honest. This step I got with God, myself, and another human being, the exact nature of my wrong. Meaning, like, I don't just say I lie. Why you lie? What motivated you to lie? What feelings did you get when you lied? Come on, Glenn. Let's get to the exact nature. Let's go to the root of the problem in order to get the solution. And in the fifth step, I was able to clear some stuff and see some stuff about me. It was able to lead me on to a sixth step, and I saw my defects flying all over the room like gnats. Defects everywhere. Defects never come by themselves. If you got lust on your list, believe me, manipulation is on there somewhere. Dishonesty, or there's quite a few things that come with lust. Control, freakism, no, anyways. And I was able to write that list, my defects. Seventh step says, look, get out of God's way so he can do what he needs to do. Seventh step, I'm like, God, please. Not even a bold or boastful voice. God, please help me. Help me, because I'm not sure which way to go, what to do. Seventh step, God, I backed up. God, do this. You got this. My shortcomings are coming short of God's will. Me sleeping with a married man is not God's will for me. Now, if you flow that way, float on. If you like it, I love it. But I've been there, done that. Pretend I didn't see the wedding ring. Not even thinking about that wife that's home waiting for her man to come home. And I'm here doing this. It's not dignity. That's a little deeper down in the steps. So I got to the eighth step, and I made a list, and I checked it twice. And I really found out that I ain't that nice. I'm petty. I'm very petty. I got to be honest. Being that it ain't no taping, it is taping. Oh, my God. Okay, well, all right. I'm so petty that I will tell you I'm street. Straight up, I'm street. And you better look both ways before you cross me, because I'm coming for you. Straight up street. And I lived that. That was my quote. You know, my code of ethics. Look, don't cross me. But on the eighth step, I saw harm done, and I got to go here because it's bringing in the prayer. Eighth step, I asked God to let me be honest. I hurt my mother, y'all. I robbed her so many times in active addiction, but in recovery. I hurt my little sister, y'all. The same one I was supposed to buy that suit for, I hurt them. How you ask yourself, let me get real honest. Let's just strip it off. Here we go. I speak a lot. I talk a lot. I love talking. It's the only way I keep my disease under arrest. But when you start putting the speaking thing above God, then you will come into where I wind up being. I was not there for times when my mother would have parties or birthdays. I was out of town flying away. My baby sister had two daughters. I was there to deliver the daughters, but I don't know what happened. I would come home from a trip, and when I left, the little girls were like 2 years old, and I come back, they're 12 and 15. What the hell? But I'm like, that's all right. You know, I got to do what I got to do. I got to speak. Forgot all about them. Forgot all about what, you know. See, I had an assignment given to me by my higher power. It's not just 12-stepping in here. It's 12-stepping anything that I touch. I got to be accountable for who I am. And I forgot all about my family. So I wrote my sister, my mom's name on there. Let me say this to you. My mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. If you don't know what that is, it's not. I'm glad for you. But it's one of the hardest things to do as a child, to watch your mother turn into an infant and have your mom say to you, pick me up, mommy, pick me up. And I couldn't pick my mom up. I'm like, mom, stop playing. And she really thought she was a baby. My mom went in the hospital weighing 300 pounds. When my mom died, she was down to 70 pounds. And I could pick her up. And I changed her diaper. And I did her hair. And I remember once I painted my mom's fingernails purple because that's the only color I had. She came out of Alzheimer's land and said, what the hell color is that? And went right back. You see where I get my sense of humor from. And I remember going up to the hospital. I'm talking about prayer. And I asked God, let me be strong. I caused him harm. It's time to show up, eighth and ninth step. It's time to make amends. So I was at the hospital all the time where my mom was. And I remember coming up there, Michelle had texted me, my baby sister. She said, you need to get up here, mom's not doing well. So I'm driving on two wheels, I get there. And her room, my mom's room, faced the elevator. Like I would come out here and I could see like where you at. And when the door opened, I said, mommy, sleep. Mama. And I'm over here, Michelle's crying. I'm like, why are you crying? And over here, my niece, her daughter, is crying and she's banging her head against it. I'm like, what's going on? What's wrong with y'all? And Michelle says to me, mom is going. I'm like, no. No, she's right there. She's asleep. She said, no, she's not asleep, Glenn. So I went over there and I touched my mom. I'm like, mom, you gotta wake up. I got abandonment issues. I didn't tell you you can go now. No, no, you can't leave me. I got nobody. My daughter died in my arms. My father, it was a crackhead. He's gone. There is nobody left but my mom. You know what I'm talking about when it comes to your mom. No more Sunday dinners. No more Thanksgiving. No more. Mom, I'm like, wake up. Stop playing. And she didn't wake up. You're talking about being powerless on a deep level. But I made my amends, y'all. I made my amends. I showed up. I showed up. N.A., you told me to stay. Pray. I prayed, God, that I wouldn't hurt some of y'all that would come up to me with them condescending voices. Well, you know, she's in a better place. Shut up. You're going to be with her. And I got through it. I didn't use. I stayed. And life went on. And I worked the 8th and 9th step with my baby sister. And more tears. Here we go. My baby sister, we look exactly alike. If she was standing up here now, y'all would know. We look like twins. We were 8 years apart. And she was the one, like, the and I know y'all know what I'm talking about. There's always that one in the family that does really great things, you know. She's, like, in corporate America. She was a big boss, $3 million home, you know. And, like, me and her were getting in arguments because she said I was jealous of her. It wasn't I was jealous of her. I wanted to be her friend. I wanted to be her sister. And she just couldn't understand me. She was very mean to me. And, like, you kind of figure I'm not a person that you have to really do too much to. I'm not a fighter like that. I'm vicious, but it's more mental viciousness. I say I'm sorry after I do it. I say I'm sorry. So I promised myself I was going to make a nice step of amends. This is years after my mother had died because Michelle took care of everything, and that's the one. So Michelle called me April 23rd, 2003, last year. And she said, Glenn, I'm not feeling good. I'm like, go to urgent care because it's late at night. You ain't gonna be able to go to your doctor. I said, call me and let me know what happened. So Michelle called me back. She said, Glenn, they're sending me to the hospital. I'm like, for what? All you need is some antibiotics. Ain't nothing wrong with you. I mean, tell them stop trying to charge your insurance company extra money. She's like, Glenn, I don't know what's going on. I said, I'll be over there making amends. We're talking about, I stayed long enough to learn how to make amends. I stayed in these rooms long enough to learn how to put aside my emotional pain of, like, I can't control what's going on with Michelle's body, but I could be on point. Y'all taught me that. So I drive over there to the hospital. I got my mask on. I'm gowned up. I'm coming in there with an attitude like, what y'all doing with my sister? This is the baby girl. I taught her to walk. I potty trained this one. I carried her on my hip all summer long. This is my baby. So I go in the room. I said, what'd they say? She said, well, they haven't come back yet. They did a biopsy. I'm like, I heard there were a biopsy. You ever got them sisters or brothers that look in your eyes and they know what you're thinking? And I'm trying to, like, not give her that look, you know, that, oh, God. So I'm like, so she's like, and all you can see is here, and I got big eyes. So she said, wait for me to say something. And so in come three doctors with clipboards. And I went to prayer. I'm like, God, in this moment, if you hear me, the girl they said was least likely to do anything in her life, I'm doing so well. Can you fix my sister? Please. Please. So they said, we got the results back. It's stage 4 uterine cancer. I'm like, what happened to 1, 2, and 3, man? How did you get to 4? And she looked at me like, save me, Glenn. And I don't have any ammunition for this one. All I got is prayer. You gave me an ammunition that I didn't even realize. And I'm like, God, please don't let me beat their ass. I'm hurt. That's my sister. You're taking her away from me. That's all I got left. And so we went through the surgery 8 hours. They cut her from top to bottom. They removed so much of her. That was in April. She wound up back in the hospital the second week of June. Her birthday was June 20th. My birthday is June 26th. That's how close we were. And they told me to come over to the hospital. Michelle was back in the hospital. And I drive over there. And I'm over there. And her birthday, I got cake and candles, you know, and balloons, because it's her birthday. And she died on her birthday. And I'm like, N.A., you told me to stay, man. You told me don't run no matter what happens. You told me don't use. You told me to stand firm despite the storm that's blowing. You told me no matter what goes down, as long as I follow this path, you know, I got nothing to fear. I hurt. I watched her take a last breath. And I understand I'm talking to God. Y'all know the 5 stages of death. I'm bartering with God. Take me. Please take me. She's got kids here. I have nobody. And my sponsor said, your assignment's not complete yet. God ain't ready for you to go. And I buried my sister. And let me say, I'm going to give you some hope because I don't believe in leaving no sadness. I understand the eighth and ninth step. I made my amends to my sister. I was on point. Tenth step, how you living? Check yourself before you wreck yourself, Glenn. So her daughter, the oldest one, was getting married. And we were, while Michelle was laying in the bed, convalescing, we were ordering an outfit for her to wear to walk her daughter down the aisle. She died before the wedding. And I felt my nieces didn't like me because of all the traveling I did. We weren't really close. My niece called me on the phone and said, Dora, they don't call me Glenn. She said, Dora, would you do me the honor of walking me down the aisle? Do you understand what that meant to me? You understand what I'm saying? She asked me. The girl most likely did not do crap in life, even with clean time under her belt. You want me? I kept saying it, me? And so I got, let me tell y'all, in a, listen up, y'all listen, put your big ears on. I wear sneaks, I wear Tims. I'm a girl guy kind of girl. I know girls wear dresses and I've seen them before. But it's like, they're nice and the wind blow up them and it's nice, I don't like it. So I put the word out to my sponsors, I don't know how to dress for a wedding, you know. Let me tell y'all NA women, y'all's the bestest. They came over my house and brought me a gown. They put makeup foundation on my face. I don't even wear lipstick. I wear Vaseline. They put lipstick and they tried to put them on fake eyelashes, but I was scared it was going to get stuck in my eye. So they curled them and they did my hair and they helped me get out of my Timberlands, which I really felt was kind of not fair. But they made me put on girl shoes and I had to practice. And y'all made me beautiful. And when I went to my niece's wedding, let me tell y'all, I'm going to tell y'all the truth. I'm not going to lie to y'all because I want to so bad. So bad, so bad. My niece was marrying a guy from Ghana, Africa, and his family believed in the old traditions of giving gifts to the family and everything. I didn't know nothing about that. My aunt flew in on her broom from the West. I saw her coming in. I'm like, oh, God, here she come. She comes in, and she goes over to the father of the groom, and tells him she's the head of the family. Now, she didn't even come to my sister's funeral. But now, understand, my niece asked me to give her away. She steps in front of me. She said, well, I'll take care of this. I said, no. The bride asked me. She said, well, we could do it together. Who made you queen? So I'm sorry. I know I got almost 38 years clean, but listen. I'm going to give you the message after I give you the craziness. So I'm looking at her, I'm explaining to her in French, Hebrew, and Spanish, no, I am giving her away. Oh, we're going to do it together. So my sponsee was with me. See, that's why you got to keep sponsees. Get a lot of sponsees because they keep you from going crazy. So we wound up getting up there together, which is so unfair because it was my moment to be with my Jana. Her name is Jana. And I did it. And when they said, who gives this bride to be wed? I'm not lying to y'all. I don't want to scare y'all. I do! I said it so loud, I scared the whole church and it was okay. Because I needed to know I gave her away. And so, right, we go into the reception. That hag, the broomstick riding, took my seat. So I wind up sitting on the side table away from the family. Y'all tell me, and I'm like, stay, Glenn, stay. Don't do no damage. Don't do it. You can do jail time clean. I'm like, So she did one last thing. She broke the straw that broke the camel's back. So I got up and I started going for the table. And I'm gonna tell you, see this smell? I'm going for the table. So my nephew see me, he beelines me. I'm like, unless you want some of this, you better back up. She said, Auntie, don't mess up Jana's wedding. Come on, she spent all this money. Don't do that. Don't let that be the last thing in her mind that you tore up her wedding. And I hear him. Prayer. I hear him. And I'm starting to breathe. And my sponsor's like, come on, sponsor, don't do it. So my nephew, the one that stopped me, his girlfriend, like she ain't in our family for real, she's his girlfriend. She steps up next to me. She said, you jump, I jump. I'm like, oh, bitches, this. We gonna jump. I took my hair off. I'm gonna knock my aunt out. I don't care if she's 70. I'm took my teeth out, my hair off. I ain't wanna break my teeth. I'm like, I'm gonna get you. And my sponsor's like, please, sponsor, don't do it. And it's amazing. Restoration of sanity happens in the weirdest moments. I'm looking at this kid and I'm looking at my niece. And if I bought this lady at this wedding, how would I look? How would I feel? The regret and shame that I walked around with when I first came here. You told me to stay. It's under arrest. But if I would have opened up that can of whip ass at that wedding, I would have had to deal with those feelings. And I was like, you ever do a puff? Little kids do it wrong. It's called a puffer fish. And they took me to the bathroom. Why do y'all take you to the bathroom? Like you got to pee or something. But it was a calming. And I understand that even though I got clean time, doesn't mean I am perfect. But I don't use that as an excuse to behave badly. It says God's will is to live with dignity. It is not dignified to pull out my teeth and take my hair off and fight you at a wedding. That's not nice. So I made it through the wedding, y'all. I made it through. And my niece just last Monday had a baby boy. And oh my God, I delivered her and cut her umbilical cord. Now she got a baby. I'm just telling you the joys of staying, the joys of praying, and the joys of slaying. Straight up slay, I would have tore that church up. I'm serious. I don't fight real well, but I throw stuff really good. I would have got her. I know my aim is mean. I am really good. I would have tore her head up with that blast, but I saw it. But I didn't do that. I'm talking about praying in the moment. 10 steps of God, don't let me do what I want to do. Let me do what I need to do. God, let me see this for what it is. Some people in my, you know, like we always talk about on 10 step, we got a strong network. We got a girl with 50 years in it, a girl with 2 days clean. Oh, we got a boss network. But listen to what I'm saying to you. Listen, does your net work? You say you got a strong network. When the storm hits, where's your network at? Does your net work? Sometimes you got to throw that net back out to sea and get a new one. I've had to change partners on a 10th step. I had to get a new network. I had to find new friends. I had to extend myself to a new home group. I am keeping my sponsor. I'm sorry. I've had her for 21 years. It just works for me. She is part of my network, and it works. So I'm like getting in here, and on 10th step, I'm looking at myself, and I like what I see. Yeah, there's some room for improvement. There's always room for improvement. I will always be a student in the game of life. I want God to continue to guide, mold, and shape me. So 11th step, like I sit through prayer and meditation, I ask God, like, let me talk to you. Come here, God. Let me sit down. Let me tell you. And I talk to him from my heart. I talk to him. I'm talking about praying, God, please help me be better today than I was yesterday. And meditation is just being quiet, listening for God's word. It's showing me what to do and having the courage to go through with it and do it. That's the 11th step for me. Some days it's hard to do the right thing. But I know the pain of not doing the right thing comes too when you don't. So I do what I do right and I do it to the best of my ability. And sometimes I fall short and I'm so hard on myself. My sponsor's teaching me right now how to be a little bit more nicer to me. 11th step stuff. Prayer. 12th step. Now, I told you earlier that like I got caught up in the speaking a lot. And I found myself missing out on life because I'm flying here, flying there. Out of 1 month, I may be going every 3 weekends out of a month. I visit my house. You know, I didn't even know some things I had in there. I don't know how they got in there. I live alone. I'm like, where did that come from? Because I'm never there. 12th step is like carrying the message. It's not just here at this podium. You know, it's beautiful. If you want to do this, y'all, listen up, big ears. All of y'all want to be main speakers, listen up. Stop getting up here with that black, chocolate brown, navy blue. Do you understand? We seek the spirit, which is light. If you get up there with them dark colors on, I automatically go from, where's she at? Oh. Now, you come up there with some hot colors on, light, bright. We're talking about slaying up here. You want to connect with somebody. You want to touch your spirit. Come with the light. We are of the light. I'm not the same Glendora from 1986. I seek the light. And when I'm up here, I want you to see me, not because I think my boobies is great. They are. But I mean, I want you to understand, like, look. I represent what God wants me to be. If I touch one person on a 12-step realm, I've done what God sent me here to do. So let me tell y'all what I did. My mom died at 71 from Alzheimer's. I told you that. Every other day I go to Walmart. You probably say, why I go to Wally World so much? I like it. No, I'm so terrible. That's my job. I really don't work there for real, though. But I work there. It's my 12-step work. I go in there every other day, and I find an elderly person. I tell them how beautiful they are. I love them so much because I can't tell my mom. These ladies are 80 and 90 years old in a store shopping, and my mom is gone. So my job is to go up to them. I said, girl, you wearing that hat. You fierce. And she had one, two. Oh, my God, this one old man, he had a whole silver suit on. He looked like the guy from the Tin Man from The Wiz, but it was okay. I said, you fierce. I said, man, you make me think it back. They need that. They need a 12-step from us. How do I prepare a 12-step? Is I go into a room, and I see y'all all talking about each other and being me. I got to be the light. I got to stop feeding into the insanity. I'm not about it. I ain't got time. Look, I'm 65 years of age. I'm too old. My back hurt, my butt hurt, my side hurt, my knee hurt. Ow. I ain't got time to tear up narcotics. This is where I got to save my life. On a 12-step realm, I come into the room. And I let y'all know, my name is Glendora Bellamy. I'm 65 years of age. I've been clean 37 years, 11 months, la 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 day. I got a God in my life that's so awesome. He's helped me stay here. He's helped me learn how to pray here. And I'm damn sure going to slay here. I am an addict. I am an addict that understands this program works if you allow it to. I'm not trying to impress y'all because I talk too damn fast. I'm just trying to be me. Yes, I'm a big girl. Duh. I mean, come on. I keep you warm in the winter and give you shade in the summer. I recognize who I am. I know my worth. I know my worth. I'm a 12-step member. I believe in the 12 steps, the 12 traditions. I believe in service. H and I believe in reading the literature, even when you're sitting home bored as hell, travel surfing. Open up them books, get that dust off. Whew, do it. I believe in step work. I'm still writing. And this, my finger's like, I still write because I want to stay. How do I stay almost 38 years? I make meetings. I do a 90 and 90. I read my literature. I call my sponsor. I let somebody know who I am. I tell you the truth about I am crazy. I'm having sex dreams. I'm going to be honest with y'all. Not right now, but I did. Okay. I've had sex in 12 years. Now, you know from coming from prostitution. And some people say, what the hell? How you going to share that? There are some women here who are battling that. There are some men who are battling that. Not sure that they could ever stop that. See, I'm not saying sex is bad. All I'm saying is my reasons for doing it were wrong. God is preparing me for something great. He's coming. I think he's on a ship. He'll be here soon. Whatever. What it has taught me is that I got value between my legs other than what I think you think. I am a woman of worth. I am a 12-step member who says to y'all, look, this is me. Yeah, I would like to have all y'all naked right now. That'd be really fun. But the reality is it probably wouldn't be very good for either one of us. I am an addict, and I will always be what you taught me to be, loving, caring, compassionate. I'm a ball breaker. I'm a goer. I got to do this. And y'all say, Glenn, you talk too much. No, you talk too little. I'm going to tell them my disease. I am not going to allow it to take me back to the streets. I am an addict. Thanks for letting me share. I'm done. Bye, y'all.
Glendora, you are a queen. Absolutely amazing. One more time for Glendora.